I remember one time I went outside to cook, and it was very cold. And, you know, building a fire when it's cold can be kind of challenging. It's windy and cold and so forth. And it was before I really had a lot of experience, and I decided to help the fire along a little bit, you know. Well, a few lost eyebrows later, you know, you live and you learn a little bit. Today, the subject is the power to face giants. We face giants in life, and it's not that I'm encouraging you to face the giants, it's the power to face the giants. And I start with thinking about bullies. Did you ever know a bully in life? I'm sure you have. And they don't come in the same form. With boys, sometimes bullies come in one form. With girls, they kind of come in another form. I think there was a movie two or three years ago, Mean Girls. Am I right about that? Yeah. And you can really get that. As a matter of fact, boys, you know, there's always been the, you know, they kind of fight it out. But girls, they can be a very viciousness. But we understand that kind of bully. But bullies are, you know, kind of go on through life as well. There are people who work with bullies. I don't know if you've ever worked with a bully. Somebody who's always trying to bully others into doing things. Or maybe they emotionally are a bully. Or we see bullies out in public. You run into them at ball games. You run into people who just take everything. And they invade everybody else's territory, so to speak. Maybe you have bullies that are neighbors. You know, there are people who just kind of rule the roost. Everybody says, don't mess with them. It's just not worth it because they bully people. And I think bullying defined as the use of threats or coercion to intimidate others. People like to be the big dog. They like to intimidate others. They like to walk tall. And they carry the big stick. And instead of Teddy Roosevelt said, walk soft and carry a big stick, they like to walk tall and rattle their stick. And when you think about the bully, you think about a person who lacks empathy for others or needs to control others. In our situations, we get into in family environments, sometimes you find somebody who likes to control everything. I have a tendency to be a control freak a little bit, and I have to back off and learn, you know, it's all right. And the older you get, sometimes, it just doesn't matter. But, you know, you can bully through control, or maybe you get angry quickly. And that's a form of bullying because people say, well, I don't want to mess with him or her because they get angry too quickly, so therefore we'll just let them have their way. And that's another form of bullying. Or maybe people who pick on others who don't comply to their expectations. And so we see all of these things that come forth through childhood and adulthood. We see bullying. But I go back to Goliath. Goliath was probably the prototype. He was the bully of bullies. He was a Philistine, and the Philistines were pagan people. They understood the arts of metallurgy, iron, the arts of metals, and they were able to put those things together. They had armor that was huge, and so therefore they could bully everybody else because they had, and I'm going to use the air quotes here, they had the guns, even though they didn't have guns. But they were able to bully anyone. And they could stand there and they could look at the situation with the Israelites, a hopeless situation, and they could tell them, it's hopeless. There's no way you can defeat us. We're going to crush you. Now, you're talking about telling people, you know, on a sports field, we're about to do that. Well, can you imagine? We're about to crush you. There's nothing you can do about it. As a matter of fact, we laugh in your face. And that's what we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Well, 1 Samuel 17 would not be a great chapter in Scripture without 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16 is where we see this future king made. We see this anointed person, David. David anointed, well, really by Samuel, but, you know, Saul was in there as well. And we see that Saul at one point in time in his life was anointed by God, but he disobeyed God and he lost the anointing. And now the anointing fell to this little runt of Jesse, David. And I say runt, I shouldn't say that, but he was the youngest child of Jesse. You remember they came out to the farm one day and said, you know, the Lord has directed us here. One of you will be the one that leads us. And they looked at all the kids and said, well, evidently it's not any of the kids. None have that anointing of the Lord. And there was finally, isn't there one more? Yeah, but it's David. It couldn't be David. And it brought David out, and he was the one who was anointed by the Lord. And you know that story. The question is this for you. Have you accepted the fact that God wants to anoint you to have the power to face the giants in your life? In chapter 17, the Philistines had gathered their forces of war in Soko in Judah. They had pitched their tent, and if you look in verses 2 and 3 there, you see Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the Valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. I give them credit. I give the Israelites credit. They at least had remembered the presence of the Lord, and in the remembering of the presence of the Lord, they had the courage to stand at the battle line in front of the Philistines. So the first thing you can do if you're going to have the power to face the giants is realize that God gives you the power when He gives you the power. So go ahead and start facing the giants. Don't hesitate. Don't wait till you get all the ducks in a row. Start facing the giants in your life. If you go to verse 32 of that same chapter, and we're going to jump around a number of verses, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on the count of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Now, we saw the other day in our Wednesday night study, don't lose heart, Paul wrote, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Because you have a hope that the world does not have. You have a blessed hope. So there, right there is a form of a giant face in life. What about unemployment or debt, disease, depression, anger, abandonment? Some of us still deal with those things today, even as adults. Maybe abuse or tragedy, weaknesses, broken relationships, habits, temptations that we just cannot overcome. Maybe discrimination, maybe that goes both ways. Fear, past failures. How many? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have a past failure that really inhibits you, and you really need to face that giant, walk on through that, not let that happen anymore? I'll just share a little personal testimony. Christy and I were talking the other day, and it was just an issue. And I was sharing last week about, not here, but I was sharing, Christy and I were reminiscing about her coming to Christ. And how there was a change, and the DNA was changed. And so we had talked about this. So there was a subject that came up, and she said, you know, I have a hard time with this. I said, but God's given you a new DNA. And it was a good way to remind us that we're different. We're changed people. It's time to walk through those doors and face those giants. You ever feel like you're not good enough? You're not qualified? You can't? And most of the time, you really can't. But God can through you. He can give you the power. Well, let's look at the outline. The outline here is sort of basic, but you know, really teaches us something. First of all, in order to have the power to face the giants, you've got to plug into the source of power. Now, that sounds easy. It sounds simple. We plug in. We get with the Lord. Look at verse 37 of the chapter. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion. And the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Now, I kind of find this funny. First of all, David said, "Don't fear, don't lose heart about the Philistine. I'll go out and fight him." And then he gave testimony. He said, "I have been a shepherd. I have been a shepherd boy. And in my dealings as shepherd boys, we remember, because we read in Scripture, he had faced a lion and killed the lion. He had faced a bear and killed the bear." And he said, "The God who rescued me from that will also rescue me from the Philistine." And what a great testimony. Maybe we need to give testimonies. We need to tell our stories about God's deliverance in our lives. God hadn't just delivered the Israelites. He didn't just deliver the ransom ones who were held in captivity. He has delivered us. I was lost and undone. I was wrapped up in sin and my own hang-ups, and I had nowhere to turn, but God delivered me, and if he delivered me once, he'll do it again and again and again. But I love Saul's response. I say I love Saul's response. I chuckle at Saul's response. Go and the Lord be with you. Now, you can look at this in a number of ways. It could be, I know this Lord, and if he's with you, he'll give you strength. But it could be also, Saul, you go on out there, big guy. Go and the Lord be with you. And there are a lot of people who want to let others fight battles for them. And we who are in the household of faith need to be willing to fight some battles for folks. There are people who need you to help them face the giants in their life. They need you to pray through for their situations. They need you to stand next to them. Well, let me look at two empowerments that we see in this Old Testament. First of all, there was the empowerment of Saul. If you go back to chapter 10, which we won't do now, but it says Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you over his inheritance? You, Saul, are the one who is the steward over the inheritance of the Lord." And Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, "Where have you been?" "Looking for donkeys," he said. But when they saw they were not to be found, they went to Samuel. And they went to Samuel and they said, "What has happened here, Samuel?" And the truth of the matter is Samuel had to tell them that Saul had lost his anointing because of disobedience. And so then we see the empowerment of David. The mantle fell on Saul. Saul abused the power. So the mantle was picked up and now it fell on David. And if you look at chapter 16, we see two powerful pieces of scripture. In verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul?'" Now, Saul wasn't, gone now, but how long are you going to mourn for Saul? Because Saul has been displaced. Saul has been moved aside because of his disobedience. "Since I have rejected him as king over Israel," the Lord said, "fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." And so much of the time we spend mourning over what used to be when what used to be is not what is anymore. We don't need to mourn really over the past experiences. We need to allow those past experiences to be bricks that have built us into what we are becoming now. So many times people get to a place in their life, I don't know where it is, it may be around the age 50, because I can, and you start to really go into a mode where you say, okay, I need to start protecting. Protecting my health, protecting this, protecting that. And when you get to those places and you start going into prevent defense, then you open yourself up for the other team to score at will. And I know a lot of people in life, I have even experienced this a little bit, and sometimes it's easy to go into prevent defense. But verse 14 of chapter 16 says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." So Saul went from having God to having an evil spirit tormenting him. But if you get down to verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, talking about David, in the presence of his brothers, and from that day the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel went forth to Ramah. The thing is, New Testament men and women have the opportunity to, all of us have the Spirit of God poured out in our lives. Not just a David, not just a Denise, not just a Tracy, but all of us can have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We can have the power in us. And I want to be plugged into that source of power, which brings me to the empowerment of Christians. Acts 1:8. "When you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you," power to do what? "To be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Paul even said this in 1 Corinthians 2. "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Now, Paul was a great writer. There's indication that he wasn't that great when it got time to speak. I don't know why. Maybe he had a speech impediment. A lot of people think he did. I don't know if he did or did not. But his power was so overwhelming that people saw God in Saul, who became Paul. Does God, do people see that kind of power in you? Do they see a person when hit with devastation in life, a person that reacts in victory? Do they see a person when you have things go against you who immediately exudes the joy and the praise of the Lord even in the midst of the defeat? Or do they see a person who reacts a lot like the way of the world? Number two, not only should you be plugged into the source of power, but you must choose the right weapons. Did anybody hunt over the last couple of weeks? Anybody? Stephen killed a bug, so you know. But I don't hunt really that much. Well, really not any at all. I hunt in the Publix frozen food section, and there's that turkey, you know. But if you go hunting, you know, having the right weapons really matters. Or if you have things around the house, sometimes the right tools matter. If you need a mixer, you need a mixer. You know, there's only so much you can do stirring. You know, those old pioneer women, I don't know how they got anything done, but you know, you need that mixer so it can really froth everything up. And you have to have the right tools. The other day I was vacuuming. Yes, I vacuum. And I was vacuuming. And the vacuum over the last month has had a sound, and I mean, and I said, Chrissy, you know, those little green things off of artificial Christmas trees, which get everywhere, they were everywhere, and it wouldn't, I said, they won't pick up. And she, you know, okay, you know, and I said, and so finally I got frustrated enough, I turned it upside down, and there was like a wire that you use to wrap, you know, when you get something in plastic, and it always is, you know, put in there with those twisty ties, it takes forever to get untied. And one of those had gotten into the hose, and there was a mass of, you know, just dust and stuff there, and the hose was stopped up. I removed it, and the tool worked like it was supposed to work. What tools do you have? Well, let me give you some stones. Now, David used stones, right? He reached down and he picked up stones. Verse 37 talked about that when Saul said, "The Lord be with you." Verse 12 of chapter 16, remembering the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. So let me say this, the first stone you might need is the stone of the past. You don't live in the past, but you remember the past. Where I was and where I am, what has God done for me? Did God deliver me? Has God renewed my strength? Renewed my life. I do not live in the pity of yesterday, but I look back and I see those miraculous moments in life. And we sometimes reminisce and we remember the wrong things. We remember all the mountaintops, and they're good to remember, but sometimes we need to remember the valleys and what did God do to us and for us and through us in the valleys. The second stone, which is a right weapon, is the stone of prayer. I mean, very simply, you have the stone of the past to remember. And if you don't remember anything in your own life, go to the scriptures and remember what God has done and did again and again. But what about the power, the stone of prayer? In 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. I mean, that's a bad day. That's a bad day when people are whispering about stoning you. You ever been there? Maybe not stoned physically, but they're talking about you. You ever walked into the room and everybody hushes up? Absolutely, you know. And you ever caught wind of people and they're not really lifting you up, they're tearing you down. I've got this guy, I'm not going to call him a friend, but he's a guy I know. And he calls me on the phone. And he calls pretty regularly, and we all know him, and I've got other people, and he calls, and he will start to chew everybody up, and he'll get lost at times, and he'll forget that he's been chewing you up to that person. And if he chews Bill up to me, he's going to chew me up to Bill. I know this guy, I mean, you the whole thing about women being gossip, they don't hold a candle to this guy. This is the biggest tear-down gossip guy I've ever known in my life. And he leaves a trail of destruction wherever he goes. And the stone of prayer is simply this. Sometimes people are talking of stoning you. But David found strength in the Lord, even though they were talking of stoning him. Psalm 57:1. I have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for I take refuge in you. I take refuge in the shadow of your wings. I don't even have to be up next to you. I can come to your shadow and take refuge. In Psalm 59:16, I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in time of trouble. In other words, David was a man of prayer. He had the stone of prayer. Lord, you will be with me. Here's what I need, and you will supply my need. The third stone that you might need is the stone of priority. And boy, we need this. We need to prioritize what's really important in life, why we're here and not already in heaven. 1 Samuel 17:46-47, you can read the words there. The day of the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and cut off your head. The very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword nor spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Now, David was pretty bold. Can you imagine him saying that to the Philistines? Let me tell you that something. Y'all can laugh, you can hold your swords up, you can have your armor, you can roll your Goliath out, do whatever you want. But I will tell you this, your head is going to be cut off, and I'm going to take your carcass and lay it out for the birds to eat. Not because I'm stronger than you, but because my God's bigger than you. My God's bigger than that addiction. My God's bigger than that debt that I have. My God's bigger than these broken relationships. My God is even bigger than my own hang-ups and my bad personality that I have at times. God can deliver me from these things. The fourth stone is the stone of passion. In verses 32 and 48, we see this passion. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart." That's a passionate statement. Verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Now that's passion. When the giants come in my life, I tend to go Adam and Eve on that thing. You know what Adam and Eve did? They went and hid. I tend to want to run. Stick somebody out there. But when you have the Lord's power in you, you can start to run toward the battle line. Do you know in the New Testament it says this? The gates of hell will not prevail against what? The church of the Lord. The church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, us, we are to run to the gates of hell. And the gates of hell will not even be able to keep us out because we're going to ransom people from that. We don't run from, we run to. That is the passion. David ran toward his giant. We ought to run toward ours. The fifth and final stone is the stone of persistence. When we pick up these stones, we have priority yet, but we have persistence. In verse chapter 32 of Genesis, verse 26, the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And I love these times in the Old Testament. We see Jacob and we see Moses and we see Elijah and we see Elisha. They're big on the blessing and they're big on the presence of the Lord. I'm not going until you bless me. I'm not doing this. Lord, I will not give up. I'm going to keep praying for this. I'm going to beat on the doors of heaven, as we see in the New Testament. I'm going to continue and continue and continue and continue. Is there anybody you're praying for salvation for in your life? Don't quit praying. Are there any relationships that you need mended? Don't quit praying. Well, that brings me to the third thing in this outline. Keep your eyes on focus. Now, there was a line, I believe it was Tecumseh Sherman said, when he was starting his march through Georgia, Joseph Johnson said, "Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the army and we're going to head up through the western, eastern Tennessee area, and we will draw General Sherman's army out, and they'll leave Georgia alone." And Sherman had that famous line. He said, "I'll give them rations if they'll go, because my business is in Georgia. Nothing will deter me from what I plan to do." Now, in a bad way, sometimes we need to get focused in on what is really important. Verses 41 through 47 talk about this, but verse 47 simply says this: "All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Do not be disturbed by the giant. Do not lose focus. Do not waver, but face the giant, focus in and say, Lord, this is your battle, not mine. Does anybody have a battle they're facing? If you don't have one now, you're going to have one soon, because battles come all the time. Giants walk into our life unexpected and uninvited. 1 Samuel 17:26. The men standing near David said, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And David said to Saul again, let no one lose heart. David said to the Philistines, you come against me with spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. Do you pray like that? Do you say and declare that you are a child of God? The other day I was going somewhere, and it can be quite intimidating when you walk around. And I do this. I don't know if I this is the way I get. I let my mind get ready when I go into social circumstances or meetings and so forth. I remind myself when I walk in that I am a child of God. He is my Father. And I put my shoulders back and I walk in with all confidence, not in me, but I walk in with the confidence that the Lord is my Father. And He is more powerful than anything that will come against me. Do not be discouraged by detractors. In verse 28, Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men. He burned with anger at him and said, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. Now, is that bad? That's the brother. Why did you even come down here, David? And who's watching the sheep? And David came down, you know, and he came down for business. Verse 30, he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the man answered him as before. Verse 33, Saul replied, you were not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Many people will tell you you're too small, you don't have it, you're not smart enough, you don't speak well, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't have enough money, you don't belong. But if you belong to the Lord, you belong facing His giants.
Amen.
Focus on God, not on the giant. Focus on the Lord. Verse 37, the Lord will be with me. Verse 46, the Lord will deliver you. Verse 47, the Lord saves. And His people today need to hear the message that God saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Not just for eternity, but He saves us out of these situations in which we find ourselves. Number four, we need to seize divine opportunity. We each have the opportunities to do great things for the Lord, even if others don't know about it. But we have the opportunities to allow the Lord to fight our battles. As the Philistine moved closer to attack David, David ran toward him. He reached into his bag and he started taking out the stones. He slung it and he struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone, according to Scripture, verse 49, sank into his forehead. I would have loved to have seen that. And he fell face down on the ground. Now, you know, I think about the people who did not volunteer to fight Goliath. Eliab, the brother, didn't. You know, he was just, you know, he was there to mock David and tell David he couldn't do it. Saul sure didn't do it. He was the leader by position, but he was no longer the leader. He was just there and he was biting his fingernails, and David came along and said, you can't do it, David. And finally he said, well, okay, the Lord be with you. You remember even in that whole passage, he said, you can have my armor. And his armor was too big for David. So the armor couldn't even help. Jonathan, you know, there's wisdom in keeping silent and waiting before God to move rather than making a hasty fight. But here was David. David was the one who said, I will face this giant. Why? Not because I have been besmirched, but because He has besmirched my God.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you what. There are people out there today who are being ravaged by Satan. They're being ravaged physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally ravaged by Satan. And somebody needs to go in there and say, we're going to get this giant out of your life. We're going to face the giants together. And that brings me to number five. And this goes back to our passage which we studied over the last month in Genesis. You see what it says there? Cut off the enemy's head. Remember what Jesus did? It said, or the prophecy said, in, or the promise said in Genesis, what would the Son of Man do to the serpent? He would crush his head. Cut off the head. Saw a picture today. Did you see that frozen water moccasin down in Camden? Yeah. You know, the ice had frozen. Of course, people were saying, how cruel. I'm like, how cruel is a water moccasin? You know? But, you know, we were going down the other day. We saw ice on top of all the catfish farms that normally are just rippling waters. And it's just an interesting thing to see. But when I think about the head of the serpent, verse 51, David ran and stood over him. And he took hold of the Philistine sword. David didn't have a sword. And drew it from the sheath, and he killed him, and he cut off his head with the sword. We need to cut off some things. We need to cut off unpure communications, unpure speech, maybe some unpure talk in some of our relationships. Maybe some of us have illicit relationships that have not come to fruition yet, but we're thinking about. We need to cut those off. Maybe bad habits or different things we might be addicted to. See, how can we cut those things off? Cut off dishonesty. Cut off thoughts and lifting up things which are not pure, which are not godly, which are not holy. The next time the giants shout out what to do, we need to plug into that source of power. Pick up the right stones. Keep our enemy right in focus. Square him up and allow the Lord to do the work for us. I want to end with these words of C. C words. You like C? Well, I made a lot of them, but C's. God uses common people. Do you consider yourself common? Yeah, you know, man. Watch these guys play sports and so forth, and I was all right. I was all right at this and all right at that. You know, I'm just all right. And just common, you know, an average type person. Ordinary people are used by God. We see this in 1 Samuel 16 and 17. Obedient people are also used by God. Common, ordinary, obedient people will be used by God. The second C is the word consecrated. People who are consecrated. You know, in David's words indicate that there is a relationship that he has with God. And my question is, are you related to God? Are you consecrated? Yeah, I am. I'm related to him. And it's not because I'm good enough. It's because he accepted me and Jesus. And Jesus' righteousness covers me. I rely on him as well. The third C word is God uses committed people. Now, do you like commitment? Do you like for people to be committed to you? You know, even if it's a small thing, if it's picking up Christmas decorations. Well, you know, if we're going to do this, let's do it. We're going to commit to getting this done. We're picking them up, and I'm going up one more time, one more trip, one more thing. Let's get this done because we're committed to finishing the task that's before us. In marriage, are you committed? I'm committed. I'm committed to pray. I'm committed to help. I'm committed to care for Christy when she's not feeling well. I'm committed to learning how to understand her as the Bible teaches me to do. They're committed in spite of obstacles, committed in spite of opposition, committed in spite of the opportunities that come. And the final C word is this. In order to face giants, you must be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Now, David had already faced a lion. Can you imagine facing a lion? He'd already faced a bear. Can you imagine that? I remember in Gatlinburg that year, Christy and I drove up to the little cabin we were staying, and there were two bears. And they were having a field day in the trash can, which was next to the door. And so what do? You know, I thought long and hard, and I shined the lights, I blew the horn, and finally they scampered kind of in the distance, and I said, okay, Christy, we're going to make a run for it. You go first. And I think in that situation, I actually did. We ran in the house, and the coast is clear, you know, come on in. And it was such a nice spring night. I had planned that we had an upstairs room to open the sliding door, you know, and just let the spring air. We didn't do that. Keep it closed. Look out, you know, because the bear or that. Can you imagine David facing these things? And he said, I face those things as a runt, and God delivered me. He'll surely deliver me from the Philistine. I faced financial difficulties before, and he delivered me. He'll surely deliver me this time. I faced family problems before, and he delivered me. He'll surely deliver me this time. God will deliver you. Do you want to be the kind of person God uses? I do. Regardless of what it costs in time, energy, or reputation, it will be worth it to be used by the Lord. Listen to him. Listen to the characteristics demonstrated by David. And we see those same characteristics in the New Testament as well. They weren't facing lions and bears. They were facing persecution. But they faced it every day. Every day. Stephen faced the giant as the stones were pelting his body. And as he died, he kept his focus on the right hand of God and saw Jesus standing there. Stephen never lost focus. Let us never lose focus. Face the giants you have to face this year. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the words of encouragement. And wherever we are right now, Lord, we know that you can make us into your relative. You can have a relationship with us. You want to graft us into your family. You want to adopt us as your children. And I pray, Lord, that we will have our focus on you. Therefore, we can face the giants we have that pop up in our lives, and you will do the fighting for us. You will give us the power to face the giants, the power to be your witnesses. And praise, glory, and honor will be yours. And we will just live as obedient kids. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.